The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So continuing these talks on Anapanasati, mindfulness of breathing. We've entered into the domain of mental activity. And the Pali word is citta sankhara. So it's citta, usually translated as mind, and sankhara is formations, or I'm calling it to this week activities of the mind. And so activities of the mind. It turns out that the mind is not the container for activities, or the organ for activities, like the brain that's maybe the organ for, you know, what many of us in the modern world think of as mental activities. The citta is itself an activity, or it's the sum total of all the activities of what we might call the mind. It's the the citta is all the activities of the mind as we experience them, as we can know them. And so this idea that the mind itself is an activity is an encouragement not to take the mind as a particular thing, not to kind of reify it or treat it as almost like a foreign object, but rather all we have as human beings, really, in the Buddhist point of view, is the activities that are all operating together to make us alive. It's when the activities of life are no longer here that we're no longer alive. And one of those activities is the activities of the mind, the mental activities. And to start becoming aware of the mind, appreciating it, is the task now in the middle stages of Anapanasati. And it's very important to appreciate that it's kind of in the middle here, so that there's been a lot of emphasis on breathing, for sure, embodied breathing, but also being rooted in the body, really feeling the whole body. And then also starting feeling a real sense of well-being, a contentment in the body, joy in the body, and spreading that contentment throughout the body. And so there's a movement towards becoming whole. Or the classic language is becoming unified, where everything's included. And so as we move through Anapanasati, it's not so much that we're now starting to emphasize more the mind, but we're opening up wider and wider to more and more inclusive of this whole. But if we're very quiet and still centered and in the body begins to, because it's taken care of so well, because it's no longer a challenging place to be in deeper meditation, that the body begins to recede from as a central focus of awareness. The breathing tends to change its quality, and it's fascinating to watch as we go through meditation the different stages that breathing will take. And sometimes breathing will go very quiet and subtle and still. Sometimes it's so quiet, the breathing, it seems like we've stopped breathing. The first time that happened to me in meditation, I was very content and kind of a lot of well-being and just sitting there very still and no trouble at all. And then I noticed I hadn't breathed for a while, and I immediately gasped for breath with fear, and I had this thought, I'm going to die. And but you know, there was no danger of that. It's just that I'd never, you know, you're supposed to be breathing all the time. And so this idea that the breathing had seemingly stopped was, you know, little bit jarring for me. And then eventually I learned that It seems like there's plenty enough oxygen getting into the bloodstream some way or other, even when seemingly the experience of breathing has gotten so still that it's kind of stopped. And so the body and the breathing sometimes recede, and so then this sense of wholeness and inclusion begins to include the mental activity, the mind itself. And one of the things we begin appreciating in this path, in this journey, is at some point it's possible to understand that the body itself, not the physical body, but the body that we experience, how we experience the body, is a byproduct or contingent upon the mental activities we have. So if the mind is really quiet and still, the construction of the body, the making of the body experiences and interpreting the body and focusing the body begins to recede as well. And the experienced body begins to become more porous, more transparent, more translucent, until it also sometimes kind of disappears. So this activity of the mind is part of this, is in sense all, in some forms of Buddhism they say that it's all we have, all there is. Consciousness is all there is, they say. But I don't think that the Buddha would say that, but he would say that most of what we experience, our experience of life, is very much conditioned and affected by the quality and the activity and of the mind itself, of this citta. So this citta activity, the activity of the mind, is actually a very important part of our, hugely important part of our life. And it's how we construct ourselves, construct our world, and the way that we live in it and experience it. So to start becoming aware, not of this complicated idea that we're constructing our own experience in some way, or influencing it greatly, but to begin appreciating that as the it's actually possible to quiet the mind, still the mind, soften the mind, not so much by necessarily doing it too intentionally, but it tends to happen as we start getting more and more settled and unified, less in conflict with things, less in conflict with the mind or the heart or the world, and there's kind of a less being for and against things. The mind tends to become quieter, and the activity slows down. But slowing down doesn't mean we become slow-witted. It's like I said the last few days. The mind actually operates so much better, clearer, more creatively, more intelligently, more wisely, when the less active energy or less applied energy goes into our thinking, into the mental activity. And the mental activity is kind of like it begins coasting, or it comes into a harmony where there's no resistance to anything. There's no... and so it just kind of begins to operate in a very harmonious, deep way, and almost effortlessly. So this movement of quieting the mental activity. So part of this anapanasati is then to recognize what it feels like, the mental activity, the experience of it. And that's how we can start becoming aware of how energetic it is, how tense it is, how much pressure there's in it, contraction, how much resistance there is, how much agitation there is in the mental activity. And then to hold that in awareness, breathe with that, just be aware of that. And then when it's easy, to relax, calm the mental activities. Not to do that too much, not to make it a big project. In fact, the bigger project than calming the mental activities is just to get to know it. Step 7. I can't underestimate how important it is for people who do Vipassana practice to really just learn the art of just knowing the experience really well and knowing how to be with it without being for and against it, without being actively engaged, trying to do something with it. And when that's learned well, then it's a really good time to actively quiet and soften the mind, the mental activity, to let go of our thoughts, to let go of our preoccupations, to but not to do it because we have to, but because it's wise to do it. Not do it because we're expecting to be successful, but just because, you know, we're quiet and peaceful and calm enough that why not? Why not let the mind become even stiller and quieter? And so appreciating the mind as an activities, and relaxing it, calming it, and then also beginning to appreciate and recognize the ways in which the mental activity has become calm, has become quieter. And that's a relative degree. If you're super agitated, it's really good to appreciate that you're half agitated, and before you were 100% agitated. Rather than feeling upset about the 50% agitation, celebrate it. Any movement in the right direction in meditation should just be celebrated, rather than to be give yourself more material for why you're not far enough along and not doing better. And but then to appreciate the calmness of the mind, the tranquility of the mind. And for the Buddha, tranquility begets tranquility. Tranquility, he actually used the word food. Tranquility is the food or the nourishment for more tranquility. So as we relax, calm the mind, as the mind becomes calmer, nourish yourself with that calm. Take it in. Enjoy it. Let it spread. Let it be more part of who you are, and appreciate it. I've had situations where I got calm enough, but the authority of my thoughts and my things, my sense of responsibility were strong enough that I felt like I had to think about things and not sit and appreciate the calm. But tranquility is the food for more tranquility. So you're allowed to take in that food. You're allowed to be nourished by it when it's there, when it comes. So step 7 is breathing in. One experiences mental activity. Breathing out, one experiences mental activity. Step 8 is breathing in. One calms the mental activity. Breathing out, one calms the mental activity. And so I hope that you enjoy that. And also I hope that you don't set up an excited mind in opposition to a calm mind. Because there are times in life where it's quite wonderful to be excited and engaged in things and to be able to be fluid and relaxed and fluid in just going back and forth between happily excited minds and happily calm minds is one of the joys of practice. So enjoy your day. Thank you.